You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
You got mail 4. Topic: the letter of James, Yaakov to the believers, chapter 4. Time is truly going fast. This is already the 26th podcast of the year, and today is the fourth day I am speaking on the topic of the letter of Yaakov. 26 podcasts mean we are already halfway through the year. During this year, we have often discussed a verse or two from the letter of Yaakov, but tackling the whole letter, as we have been doing now, is something I have never attempted before. I must admit that at first I had serious doubts about the why and how of this teaching. Yet now I must testify that it has been a rich and wonderful blessing. I believe the most important thing for a preacher is to preach first to himself. When the speaker receives a blessing from the Lord through the message, he has opened himself to share that blessing with others. And what I ask you is better than sharing a blessing received from God? Nothing. Throughout our reading of the letter, the theme that continually emerges is the life example of Jesus Christ and the reverent fear of the Lord God our Father. Yaakov, a strong leader of the Jerusalem congregation and the half-brother of Jesus, does not speak in superlatives. Rather, he states plain, straightforward truths. His letter often feels reminiscent of the book of Proverbs, for he makes generous use of Old Testament quotations. There is no higher authority than the Word of God itself. Yaakov calls it the royal law in chapter 2, verse 8. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He insists that genuine faith inevitably produces works, and he supplies practical counsel on how to endure the many temptations of this world, how to be doers of the word in matters ranging from spiritual love, prayer, and patience to humility. We have already discovered two prophecies within this marvelous letter. The first is the promise of a crown of life, bestowed in heaven at the judgment seat of Yeshua upon those who have remained faithful on earth or have been martyred for their allegiance to Christ, an assurance echoed again in the Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, Amplified Bible. Fear nothing that you are about to suffer. Dismiss your dread and your fears. Behold, the devil is indeed about to throw some of you into prison, so that you may be tested and critically appraised, and for 10 days you will have affliction. Be loyally faithful unto death, even if you must die for it, and I will give you the crown of life. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Spirit says to the assemblies. The one who overcomes shall in no way be injured by the second death. During the second week, we encountered the same promise, indeed the same prophecy, when Yaakov spoke about showing respect for others. Yaakov, James, chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, King James Version. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not kill." Now, if you do not commit adultery, yet you do kill, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as people who shall be judged by the law of liberty. He urges us to speak and act according to the law of God. For that law alone grants the liberty we so earnestly desire at the final judgment. Yaakov, James, chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Orthodox Jewish Bible, Complete Jewish Bible, The Message, The Voice, Easy to Read Version. In every way, therefore, speak and act as people who will be judged by the Torah that gives freedom. For the one who has shown no mercy will receive a merciless judgment, yet mercy, full of triumphant confidence, exults over judgment. A weighty question now confronts many Christians. Why should we do this if the Apostle Paul teaches that once we are saved by grace through Yeshua, the Messiah, we are no longer under the law? That is correct. We are no longer subject to the condemnation of the Torah. Nevertheless, we still desire to live in obedience to the will of God. We choose to walk in His sublime wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 says, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, Amplified Bible. That people may understand a proverb, a figure of speech, an enigma with its interpretation, and the words of the wise and their riddles. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence, but fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction and discipline. My son, hear the instruction of your father, reject not nor forsake the teaching of your mother. The complete Jewish Bible even renders it the discipline of your father. It does not become easier. Some commandments were never intended for the nations, the Goyim, and certain commands are impossible to observe in our time and culture. Yeshua has made it possible for us to fellowship with the Father without the four mandatory pilgrimages to the temple and their attendant sacrifices. He Himself has become the ultimate sacrifice. Hallelujah! What greater gift could there be? Yet many commandments and promises still stand, awaiting the follower of Messiah to decide, shall I obey the desires of God the Father, or shall I claim what some call Pauline immunity? I will not make that choice for you. You must settle it with God yourself. I will not insist that you must agree with me. Rather, I urge you to open your Bible and allow the Word of God to speak. How is the Lord persuading you to live for Him? Where does He say you stand in relation to Him? That is precisely where we find ourselves at this moment. What do we love more, the world or God? Bring your Bible. Read each reference for yourself. Read the surrounding passages and pray. In this way, no text can be wrested from its context, and you will receive the Word of God, not merely the word of the pastor. Pray that the Lord will seal the pastor's lips until the Holy Spirit opens them again. Now let us open our Bibles to chapter 4 of the letter of Yaakov and continue our journey toward becoming close followers of the Lord as we heed Yaakov's warnings against loving the world, provoking conflicts, and choosing friendship with God rather than enmity. Yaakov, James, chapter 4, verse 1 to 17. Complete Jewish Bible, Amplified Bible, Orthodox Jewish Bible, Easy to Read Version, Common English Bible. Do you know where fights, wars, arguments, feuds, and strife originate? Do they not arise from your sensual desires, your lusts and cravings, that wage war within your very lives? You covet, yet you do not have. You hate, and hatred is murder in the heart, yet you cannot obtain what you desire. You burn with envy and anger, but still cannot secure the gratification, contentment, and happiness you seek, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not pray. Or, when you do ask, you receive nothing because your motives are wrong. You want only to spend it on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose Scripture speaks in vain when it says that the Spirit He placed in us longs jealously? But the grace God gives is greater still. Therefore, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. grieve, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not speak evil against one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the Torah and judges it. When you judge the Torah, you are not a doer of the Torah, but its judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make a profit. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord is willing, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So then, if you know the good you ought to do, and you do not do it, you sin. There is much here, and I would like to begin with the final section. It teaches us to say, if the Lord wills. You have often heard me declare that we can claim God's promises when we pray in line with His word. I am not a name it and claim it preacher. I simply observe that when we pray scripture, we already know God's answer. Lord, I believe, therefore, I am going to buy that $60 million lottery ticket, and I will give you 20% after I win. I have heard such a petition, even in a chapel service. That is not prayer, that is divine blackmail. It is not how this works. We return to the closing verses of chapter 4 and acknowledge the truth. We do not know whether we will be alive tomorrow. God does. Yet we do know His will, because He has revealed it in His holy word. When we align our prayers with that will, we may indeed claim the answer in faith. Our lives as Christians no longer belong to us, but to God. Christ has redeemed us and paid the price that set us free. Therefore, we cannot boast. How can you boast of something you did not accomplish? This week, I heard a radio countdown of the top 10 office irritations. Number one was someone else taking credit for your work. It hurts, does it not, when another receives the glory for what you have done? Imagine God's grief. He gave you life. You misused it. He bestowed grace and redemption. You squandered gratitude. He provided clothing, employment, spouse, family, education, and future, and yet you proclaim, look at what I have achieved. The proper response would have been, I thank the Lord, for He is good. If the Lord wills, I will indeed remain with you a long time, preaching and teaching His word. If He has other plans, so be it. I will do my best, and in all things praise the Lord. Why would a father who does not care labor through all these words and sacrifices to show us how to live, love, speak, work, and worship? No, my friends, only a father who cares disciplines his child. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 14 to 15, King James Version. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 12 to 15, King James Version. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from the child, for if you discipline him with the rod, he shall not die. You shall discipline him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice, indeed mine. Yet how often does the correction fail to take root? Many can quote scripture, but do not understand it. They wield the words, judge not, as a weapon against any believer who speaks truth. Yaakov says, "Do not speak evil against your brother. If we condemn someone, stop drinking or you will go to hell. We usurp the judgment that belongs to God alone. We must tell people what Scripture says about destructive lifestyles, yet we must do so in love, leading them toward Yeshua, not driving them away with condemnation. To withhold the truth is itself a sin of disobedience against the Great Commission. It all circles back to that second commandment. You shall have no idols. Anything we place beside or above God is idolatry. Yaakov calls it adultery. We are in covenant with God, a three-strand cord, Yeshua, the believer, and the Holy Spirit. To fuse ourselves to the world instead of the Spirit is to break that covenant. Light and darkness cannot coexist in the same space. If we hunger for the world instead of Christ, we cloak His light. Yet not all is lost. If we humble ourselves, He gives more grace. Break your pride, and He will lift you up." This chapter contains a prophetic promise. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Peter echoes it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, Common English Bible. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, knowing that your fellow believers throughout the world are enduring the same sufferings. Yes, we are tempted. Every believer is. But Revelation assures us of victory. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 12, Complete Jewish Bible. Now have come God's victory, power, and kingship, and the authority of His Messiah, because the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them day and night before God, has been thrown out. They defeated him through the Lamb's blood and the word of their testimony. Even when facing death, they did not cling to life. Therefore rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, for the adversary has come down to you in great fury, knowing that his time is short. Even martyrdom cannot rob us of victory. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, Complete Jewish Bible. I saw thrones, and those seated on them were given authority to judge. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for testifying about Yeshua and proclaiming the word of God, those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or hands. They came to life and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. What a glorious prophecy! Satan already knows he is defeated. Jesus is Lord, Adonai Yeshua, HaMashiach, Melech HaOlam, the King of the Universe. God longs for communion with us, not merely on Sundays, but every moment. He knew us before we were born, and He knows where we will be buried. When He speaks, do we raise a clenched fist or an open palm? Will we accept His commandments, promises, and corrections, or continue to resist? As we studied in the fourth chapter, Yaakov confronts us with a sobering crossroads. We either cultivate intimacy with God or cling to friendship with the world. There is no safe middle ground. Yet Yaakov immediately points to the inexhaustible grace made available through Messiah, a grace that rushes to the humble and dismantles every idol we once believed indispensable. In daily practice, this grace compels us to recenter every ambition, every pleasure, and every conversation on the Lord's will. Prayer becomes less a lever to move God and more a posture that moves us into alignment with Him. Our speech shifts from clever self-promotion to careful edification, measuring words by the mercy and truth they impart. When we inevitably stumble, repentance is not a retreat into shame, but an eager return to the Father, whose discipline confirms His love, not His displeasure. Spiritual warfare is neither myth nor metaphor, the adversary still prowls. Nevertheless, Scripture insists that resistance, anchored in faith and executed under Yeshua's authority, sends him fleeing. Earthly victory may sometimes wear the unexpected guise of suffering, even martyrdom. Yet from heaven's vantage, such losses become a coronation, for the Lamb's blood and the word of our testimony secure an unassailable triumph. Therefore, let us humble ourselves beneath God's mighty hand, lifting open palms instead of clenched fists. May He prune every lingering idol, ignite every latent gift, and form us into disciples who radiate His light. And having received grace upon grace, let us walk it out, confident that the One who calls us is faithful and will surely accomplish His purpose in us. Be cleansed by the living water of Yeshua. Let His blood wash your sins away. Receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit and proclaim His word, drawing saints and sinners alike to Christ. Amen. Shalom and blessings, Pastor Chris.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.